From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listeners, how are you today? With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine. I also hope all of you are fine. And today, on Wednesday, you can also do your best. For today's edition, I would like to continue 60 minutes ahead. And we also would like to present some programs started with news, information, commentary, and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with our news. And stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo mentions that removal of capital city related to nation's great vision. President Joko Widodo warns on danger of hot spots as dry season hits. Those are the lines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane. Indonesian President Joko Widodo led limited cabinet meeting on Thursday afternoon at Presidential Office Jakarta. The meeting discussed the government's plan to move the capital city Jakarta to outside Java Island. In his direction, the president mentioned that the state capital will be moved to Kalimantan Island. However, the government must study various supporting facilities before deciding one of the provinces in Kalimantan Island replacing Jakarta as the state's capital. According to the president, relocation of the capital to Kalimantan Island must be adapted with great vision of Indonesian nations.
Kajian-kajian yang berkaitan dengan kebencanaan, baik itu banjir, baik itu gempa bumi, kajian yang berkaitan dengan daya dukung lingkungan.
Studies relating to disasters such as floods, earthquakes related to the carrying capacity of the environment, including the availability of water, land, infrastructure, related to economics, demographic studies, social politics, defense and security, all of them must be seen in more detail, so that we make a decision in accordance with our future's vision. Once again, I make a decision as head of state, not as head of government. We have to see a big vision of the next 10 years, 50 years, or 100 years to come.
10 tahun yang akan datang, 50 tahun yang akan datang, 100 tahun yang akan datang dalam kita.
Furthermore, President Joko Widodo also emphasized that the study conducted by the government, also referring on learning model from other countries which have succeeded to relocate the capital city. In addition, President Joko Widodo also asked his ministers to provide financial scheme, institution design which has authority and legal protection and regulation to move the capital. President Joko Widodo, who used to plant trees in forests as a state firm employee, has lectured the authorities on the basics of preventing forests and land fires in anticipation of a long dry spell amid threats of a reoccurring heat crisis that hits neighbors Malaysia and Singapore. Speaking at a coordination meeting on forests and land fires on Thursday, the president ordered the authorities to prioritize preventive actions in vulnerable provinces as the dry spell is expected to persist until October. The president, who is slated to visit Malaysia and Singapore this week, called on regional administrations, Indonesian military, national police, National Disaster Mitigation Agency, and Peatland Restoration Agency to work together cooperatively. President Joko Widodo also emphasized preventive measures as Delhi's hotspots and peatland ecosystem monitoring as key actions in tackling forest and land fires, urging the use of drones to detect fires early and private companies to adopt modern technology for risk mitigation. The Ministry of Transportation will ask passenger vessels with 35 gross tonnage and 60 gross tonnage fishing boats to install an automatic identification system, Sea Transportation Director General Agus Purnomo said on Thursday. If the vessel operator wishes to enter Indonesian waters, it must install the tracking tool before August 20, 2019, Purnomo explained during a seminar in Jakarta. The move was backed by the Transportation Minister's Regulation No. 7, year 2019, on the activation of automatic identification system for the vessels in Indonesian waters. The main purpose behind the move is to ensure the vessel's security and safety during the sail. According to Purnomo, all traffic in Indonesian waters must be clearly monitored and recorded. The automatic identification system is a satellite-based tracking tool that uses transponders to collect a vessel's safety information, including the unique identification course, speed, and position. Nuclear power plants could be an alternative for Indonesia to maintain the durability and security of energy supplies, said Anhar Riza Antariksawan, head of the National Nuclear Energy Agency, BATAN. This statement was made in response to the mass power outage Sunday, August 4th, in parts of Java Island. However, Antariksawan also said the cause of the outage needs to be assessed first. If it was not caused by any problem in the power plant, such as transmission, then there was no reason to replace the old equipment with a new power plant. According to Antariksawan, nuclear power plants can be an alternative for national energy security, especially in an emergency. With the nuclear power plants, the state electricity company does not have to wait for alternate energy sources to maintain the supply and backup. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. To commemorate National Natural Conservation Day 2019, Ministry of Environment and Forestry launched AUM, or Atlas Harimau Nusantara book, on Thursday. The book contains of history of three subspecies of tiger in Indonesia, namely Sumatran, Javan, and Bali tigers. It is hoped the book becomes a contribution to invite concern of Indonesian people on preserving the tiger species. Monitoring and Reporting Officer of Environment Unit, United Nations Development Programme, Muhammad Yayat Afianto, in discussing the book, explained the topic of Sumatran tiger is the most interesting issue because the rate of extinction is very fast. In less than five decades, decrease of its habitat has reached until 50%. The extinction is caused by the change of land function and illegal trade of wild animals.
Kerugian negara dari kehilangan satwa itu nilainya nomor 3.
The state loss due to animal loss is number 3 in the world. From the transaction, it is number 3 after human trafficking. The illegal trade is very massive because it is different from other commodities. We do not know the increase of tiger species exactly. The numbers continue to decline, eventually leading to the point of extinction. Muhammad Yayat Afianto further said that the United Nations Development Programme does not only support tiger preservation but also all protected animals. In addition, there are three projects which are conducted to preserve animals in Indonesia. On the same occasion, National Project Manager of Sumatran Tiger Project, Ruidiyanta Cahya Nugraha, said that tiger has long history in Indonesia. According to him, currently there are still around 600 Sumatran tigers at 23 forests in Sumatra. The Airport Council International has once again named Sepinggan Airport in Balikpapan, East Kalimantan Province, as the best airport in the world in the category of an airport with 5 to 15 million passengers per year. The Montreal-based Airport Council International conducted an airport service quality survey and announced its results on March 6. Sepinggan Airport excels in four categories of an airport with 5 to 15 million passengers per year, including the best airport in the Asia-Pacific region, the best airport in terms of the environment and atmosphere, the best airport in terms of customer service, and the best airport in terms of infrastructure. Airport Council International World Director Angela Gitton said in a press statement that the accreditation from ACI means that the management of the airport has consistently shown its commitment to maintain customer satisfaction. Gitton is expected to confer a token of appreciation on the management of the Sepinggan Airport on the sidelines of Airport Council International Customer Experience Global Summit to be held in Bali from September 2nd to 5. The event will bring together operators of the best airports all over the world. Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto encouraged farmers to increase the quality of salt produced so that they could meet the needs of salt for the industry. The minister said, improving the quality of national salt must start from the upstream process of salt production by farmers, for example, by maintaining consistency of salt production period to obtain optimal results, with sodium chloride content for salt consumption of 94% and 97% for industrial salt. In addition, the minister said that the government will gradually improve the quality of salt, including for land availability. The use of a technology was needed to improve the ability of local salt to be absorbed by the industry. In relation to becoming self-sufficient in salt production by 2021, Minister Erlangga Hartarto asked the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries to continue to train and educate salt farmers. Well, listener, that's the news.
Indonesia, plan of the United States to place ground missiles in the Asian region could trigger an escalation of tension between countries, especially in Asia. The pros and cons on Washington's intention arose after U.S. Defense Secretary Mark Esper put forward the plan during a recent visit to Australia. Mark Esper announced that the United States government would soon place ground missiles, which range could reach 5,500 kilometers. The statement was made without mentioning the country that will be the location. Earlier, Mark Esper had said America wanted to deploy its missiles in the Pacific or Asia region. Reportedly from Canberra, Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison said there was no request from Washington for the missiles to be placed in Australia. Meanwhile, ASEAN member countries will certainly not be willing to be the place for U.S. missiles. This can be ensured given the commitment of the Organization of Southeast Asian Countries to make the region nuclear weapons free. In a meeting of ASEAN foreign ministers in Bangkok last week, it was explicitly stated that ASEAN was a territory free of nuclear weapons. With this joint commitment, no ASEAN members will be able to accept the presence of nuclear weapons, including those planned by the United States. The United States announced the plan after last week officially resigning from Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces or INF treaty with Russia that bans the use of land missiles with a range of between 500 kilometers to 5,500 kilometers. Before announcing plans to place land nuclear missiles in Asia, U.S. Defense Secretary Mark Esper had accused China of carrying out activities that could disrupt regional stability. U.S. allegations have been refuted by China by calling it slander. However, the end of the United States and Russia Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces or INF treaty, followed by Washington's statement that it will immediately place land missiles, marks an increase or escalation of tense relations between the two major nations. The United States, China, and Russia, in fact, are trying to increase their influence in the world. All three are constantly trying to show strength and influence and increasing competition. For this reason, ASEAN, as a regional organization that prioritizes stability and peace, must be able to show its stance and take strategic steps in order to maintain balance and peace in Southeast Asia in particular and Asia in general. That was commentary today. I'm Anna Trijayakasi from Indonesia to the World. Today in history, I'll begin with August 7, 1933, the massacre at Simele. On August 7, 1933, there was a massacre at Simele, Iraq, by the armed forces of the Kingdom of Iraq led by Bakr Sidki. They targeted the Assyrians in the northern Iraq, and this term is used to describe not only the Simele massacre, but also the killings that took place among 63 Assyrian villages in the Dohuk and Mosul districts, which caused deaths between 600 to 3,000 Assyrians. The Assyrians are still recovering from one of the darkest periods in their history. During the Assyrian genocide and after World War I, more than half of their population was massacred by Turkish and Kurdish nationalists. Turning to August 7, 1998, bombing of the U.S. embassies in East Africa. The United States embassies in two East African cities were subjected to a bomb attack on August 7, 1998. An explosion occurred in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, and another explosion in Nairobi, Kenya, killing more than 200 people. The attacks, which were linked to local members of Egyptian Islamic Jihad, brought Osama bin Laden, Ayman al-Zawahiri, and their terrorist organization Al-Qaeda to the attention of the U.S. public for the first time, and resulted in the Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI, placing bin Laden on the wanted list. Fazul Abdullah Mohammed and Abdullah Ahmed Abdullah are considered masterminds of the bombing. Thank you. I'll conclude with August 7, 1982, the United States-Lebanon and PLO Science Agreement. The United States, Lebanon, and the Palestinian Liberation Organization, PLO, on August 7, 1982, signed an agreement containing the withdrawal of PLO forces from Beirut, the capital of Lebanon. This agreement was carried out following a widespread attack launched by the Israeli Zionist regime into Lebanon since July 1982 with the aim of driving out PLO troops from Lebanon. Although the Israeli army has very sophisticated military equipment, the PLO army managed to fight for 80 days. But finally, the PLO chairman Yasser Arafat was willing to withdraw 12,000 of his troops out of Lebanon and then based in 8 other Arab countries. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
I
Listeners, you are still with us. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia entitled Indonesian Government and the Import Promotion Center of Netherlands Boost Export to Europe. Indonesian government joined hand with the Center for Developing Country Import Promotion of Netherlands, CBI, boost export of natural ingredient to Europe by organizing Natural Ingredient Product Export Assistance Program. This was stated by Indonesian Trade Ministry's Director of Export Development Corporation, Marolop Nainggolan, during Natural Ingredient Product Export Business Workshop in Bogor, West Java, on Thursday, August 1st. Marolop said that Indonesia has abundant natural wealth. It provides Indonesia with many natural products, such as essential oil, plant extracts, and seaweed extract that can be offered to global market, especially Europe. However, competitiveness is still a challenge for Indonesian producer to penetrate European market. Therefore, business people of natural ingredient sector could join the program by CBI. In this program, focus of products was divided into food, supplement, and cosmetics industries, while the program itself was joined by participants of 60 companies. Previously, Industry Ministry signed cooperation with CBI to provide assistance for chosen business people so that they are able to meet the requirement and taste of European market. The signing was done on May 16, 2019, for a five-year period from 2019 until 2024. Besides Indonesian Trade Ministry and Industry Ministry, this cooperation also involved Maritime Affairs and Fishery Ministry, Indonesian Essential Oil Council, Indonesian Cosmetics Enterprise Association, Herbal Drink Business People Association, and Indonesian Seaweed Industry Association. Natural ingredient products included in the assistance program were essential oil, plant extracts, namely traditional ingredients for food, supplement, and cosmetics, as well as seaweed extract. These products are used as the main material for food, cosmetics, and health industry to strengthen texture, color, and aroma. Marolop also said the workshop aimed to increase knowledge and comprehension toward natural ingredient product of business people about the development potential of access to European market. He added, natural ingredient product export potential to European countries is quite great. Marolop also said the amount of export fulfillment for essential oil product was only 3%, while the extract was 0.03%. This became a challenge for Indonesia to increase export to European market. That was My Indonesia.
See you.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder. It is about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Exploring Indonesia is not complete if you do not visit historical heritage such as temple. One of the historical heritages which is not popular for tourists is Arjuna Temple. Arjuna Temple was built around 8th century by Sanjaya Dynasty from ancient Mataram. Arjuna Temple is one of temples at Arjuna Temple Complex in Dieng. At the complex, there is also Semar, Sri Kandi, Punta Dewa, and Sembrada Temples. Arjuna Temple is located at the northernmost of the temple's complex. Meanwhile, Semar Temple is Purwara Temple or complementary of Arjuna Temple. Those two temples face each other. Like temples in general in Dieng, local people named them with the names of puppet figures of Mahabharata. Dieng people who works as potato farmers used the land surrounding the temple. But since 2010, Dieng people have realized the importance of respecting the historical heritages. So, they changed the land surrounding the temples to become more beautiful and make it as one of the mainstay tourism destinations of Banjarnegara Regency. The change is also marked by the implementation of Dieng Culture Festival that promotes Arjuna Temple as the main place for cutting dread ritual or known as Wedus Gembel. Starting in 2010, Arjuna Temple Complex is used to develop tourism destination which is made by Banjarnegara Tourism Office and Tourism Awareness Group. Tourists will not find statues at Arjuna Temple, but those statues are stored neatly in Kailasa Museum, which is located across the temple's complex. To maintain the temple is conducted by rearrange the temple's stones, which collapse due to the weather that sometimes reaches minus 11 Celsius. The low temperature is caused by the location of the temple, which is on the slope of Mount Perahu and Sindoro. The cold air brings thick fog at the surrounding of the temple with visibility only 10 footsteps. So if you have a plan to visit Arjuna Temple in August or September, please prepare yourself with winter's equipment. Listeners, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
matamu, bibirmu, membuatku tak berhenti membayangkan dirimu. Senyummu, manjamu, terus saja buat aku memikirkan dirimu. Kau baru berlalu di hadapanku dan menatapku. Oh, kau tersenyum ayu, lidahku keluh hanya membisu. Ku tahu ku mampu buat kau jatuh di pelukanku. Ku yakin ku sanggup buat kau takjub pada diriku. Matamu, bibirmu, membuatku tak berhenti membayangkan dirimu. Buatku tak bersenangmu, manjamu, terus saja buat aku
Alright listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development and Cultivation Agency at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Please Have Breakfast First, or Silakan Anda Sarapan Terlebih Dahulu. Next is a conversation about please have breakfast first, or silakan Anda sarapan terlebih dahulu. Tony and Joko's family are traveling to Parangtritis Beach.
Ternyata berselancar itu susah sekali. Saya menyerah.
Ayolah, coba lagi.
Tidak, cukup. Saya capek dan lapar. Ayo kita makan dengan Dinda dan Enda.
Kalau begitu, kamu duluan saja. Saya masih ingin berselancar. Nanti saya menyusul ke sana.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to that topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Ternyata berselancar itu susah sekali. Which means, it turns out that surveying is very difficult. Saya menyerah, which means I give up. Saya capek dan lapar, which means I'm tired and hungry. Ayo kita makan, which means let us eat. Kalau begitu, kamu duluan saja, which means so you may go first. Saya masih ingin berselancar, which means I still want to surf. Nanti saya menyusul ke sana, which means I'll go there later. In the dialogue, Tony said, kalau begitu kamu duluan saja, which means so please go ahead. In the Indonesian conversation, the expression kamu duluan saja has various meanings. It depends on the context of sentences. Tony's expression politely refuses Joko's invitation because he still wants to serve. Now let's follow other examples. Joko, ayo kita makan dengan Dinda dan Enda, which means, let's eat with Dinda and Enda. Tony, kalau begitu kamu duluan saja. Saya masih ingin berselancar, which means, you may go first, I still want to serve. Enda, ayo kita pulang, ini sudah malam, which means, let's go home, it is late. Tony, kamu duluan saja ya, aku mau minum kopi dulu, which means, you may go home first, I still want to drink coffee. Listener, in another context, the expression is used to invite someone to do something first after him or her. For example, kamu duluan saja berangkat ke Jakarta supaya bisa bertemu keluarga. Kamu duluan saja berangkat ke Jakarta supaya bisa bertemu keluarga. Which means, you just go to Jakarta first to meet your family. But in a formal conversation, in Indonesian language, the expression kamu duluan saja must be avoided or it cannot be used. You can change with expressions, Bapak bisa berangkat terlebih dahulu. Saya akan menyusul. Bapak bisa berangkat terlebih dahulu. Saya akan menyusul. Which means, you could leave first, sir. I will follow then. Silakan ibu sarapan terlebih dahulu. Silakan ibu sarapan terlebih dahulu. Which means, please have breakfast first, mom. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Ternyata berselancar itu susah sekali. Saya menyerah.
Ayolah, coba lagi.
Tidak, cukup. Saya capek dan lapar. Ayo kita makan dengan Dinda dan Enda.
Kalau begitu, kamu duluan saja. Saya masih ingin berselancar. Nanti, saya menyusul ke sana.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Masih salah langkahku, meski impianku. di depan mata. Masih saja ku tunggu dirimu, ku bertahan. Haruskah ku akhiri? Aku tak tahu apakah nyata ataukah
listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today I present a song entitled Prahu Layar. Prahu Layar is the song from Central Java. The song consists of invitation to go to the sea by using sailboat. The time runs quickly. Suddenly the traveling has been in the middle of sea and it is very nice trip. However, they must go home since they have to work tomorrow. The song also reminds a balance of life, namely working and holiday. The song Prahu Layar will be presented by Campursari singer Didi Kempot. The name of Didi Kempot is currently popular again among Indonesian young people, and even he received a nickname Godfather of Broken Heart. Well, listener, here is Didi Kempot with Prahu Layar. Happy listening. Well, listeners, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. We would like to say thank you very much for your kind attention, listeners, for you to listen to our program for today. And we will give you another interesting information. And stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, and Twitter at Voi Indonesia, email voi@voinews.id.